Welcome to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age, the show designed to help make middle age your prime time of life by defying the notion that once you reach 40, 50, or even 60 years old, your crowning achievements are all behind you. Regardless of whether you're just approaching 40 or are firmly entrenched in your middle years, it's time to launch your very own personal journey toward a joyful and purpose-filled second half of life. Each week, host Roy Richards, an expert on midlife renewal and author of A Midlife Challenge, Wake Up, will discuss the challenges common to middle age and help guide you to a brighter tomorrow. Now, here's Roy.
Although we may blame others or circumstances beyond our control, in fact, most of all our problems, our bad habits and negative attitudes stem back to three unexpressed emotions: sadness, anger, and fear. Acclaimed psychotherapist, author, and workshop leader Jude Bijou tells us these three emotions are simply pure energy. If we move this energy out of our bodies, it passes, and calmness and clarity are restored naturally, physically, and constructively. And here's how. Deal with sadness like little children do, by crying. Sob, wail, shed tears. Release your sorrow by letting it out. One morning, crying while you entertain bad thoughts about yourself simply won't help. You've got to cry constructively. If you must think while crying, keep it positive. I'm doing the best I can. Like a child, it's okay to sob and bawl, but afterwards return to your happy, curious, and loving self. Anger is your body's natural reaction to injustices and violations, real or imagined. Express anger in a constructive way. Stomp, pound, and yell without harming another or destroying anything of value. Then repeat 1,000 times, "People and things are the way they are, not always the way I want them to be." Fear is a natural reaction to any threat to our survival or well-being. To release it, act like a scared dog at the vet. Allow your body to shiver, quiver, shudder, tremble, or quake, what it wants to do naturally, so you can restore calm and bring your mind back to the present moment. Live in that moment, then, and stay specific. Once fear is released, you can move on to positive problem solving and full engagement in life. And to learn more about getting a grip on your emotions, I recommend Jude Bijou's outstanding book, Attitude Reconstruction, A Blueprint for Building a Better Life. To preview and purchase it, go to Amazon, BarnesandNoble.com, or Jude's website, AttitudeReconstruction.com. And here's another idea. For 5 days of renewal and life-changing inspiration, attend Jude Bijou's workshop from August 9th through the 14th at the beautiful Hollyhock Learning Center in British Columbia, Canada. And for full details on that workshop, go to AttitudeReconstruction.com. Well, how many times in life have you felt like a pure coincidence, a chance meeting, maybe an intuitive, your intuition prompting you in hindsight that was meant to be? More importantly, did you take advantage of this seemingly chance occurrence? And did it have meaningful, positive impact on your life, on some aspect of your life? A chance meeting while walking your dog in a park led to a lifelong friendship. Intuition told you to search internet job listings one morning last week, and you discovered the perfect opportunity for you. You just got the job, and you love it. And a stranger on a plane told you all about a delightful, secluded lakeside village in northern Minnesota, which is now the location of your summer vacation home. How many more times, I wonder, have I brushed off meant-to-be moments, or ignored our intuition and missed out on a wonderful opportunity? That still small voice in our minds also can warn of danger. In her new book, our guest today, Mary O'Keefe, tells how a voice in her head urgently warned her and her boyfriend, now her husband, to get out of his parked car as they were sitting and talking in front of her parents' home. And they begrudgingly got out and went inside the house, and a few moments later, a drunk driver smashed into his parked car and wrecked it. And my guest, Mary Tracy O'Keefe, is here to describe a four-step process that will enable you to discover meaning and fulfillment from unexpected chance opportunities, especially the ones you believe happen for a reason. And Mary Tracy O'Keefe, after nearly 20 years in the corporate world, she received her master's degree in theology and spirituality, and she's certified as a spiritual director and a wellness speaker. And in 2004, she co-founded Well Within, a nonprofit holistic resource center in Woodbury, Minnesota, that provides low-cost support services to people seeking healing of mind, body, and spirit. And they've helped over 24,000 people since 2004. And she was formerly hostess for the internet and radio program Health, Being, and Well-Being on Web Talk Radio Network, which is the same network that our show is on. And she's author of two books, the award-winning Thin Places Where Faith is Affirmed and Hope Dwells, and her brand-new book that we'll talk about today, Meant to Be Moments, Discovering What We Are Called to Do and Be. And hello, Mary. It's great to have you as a guest on Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age.
Thank you, Roy. I am delighted to be here, and I really appreciate that great introduction that you gave, not just about me, but you really nailed it on the head with the Meant to Be Moment, so thank you.
It's a wonderful opportunity to provide healing in a holistic manner. You know, doctors do their work on one side, but as you point out on your website, there's a whole other side to healing and recovery from illness or injury or other immediate problems, and it's great to have a inspirational service to help with the non-doctoral or MD type aspects of it. Well, to begin, what were three signs that you received within 2 days that invited you to become a hospice volunteer? At the time, you were fully employed in a well-paid corporate job, and how did you respond, and what did the signs tell you?
That's a great question. Before this event happened, which I'll share with you, but I always kind of had a feeling, you know, you talked in the very beginning about listening to that still small voice within, and I would just kind of have this feeling I'd be working with people at the end of the life, and but I wasn't doing anything like that now. I was working in the corporate world at the time. However, I would go to seminars on death and dying, just kind of just feeling like that's what I should do. Anyways, one time I saw a little notice. It was actually just in our church bulletin on hospice volunteering, and I just thought to myself, yeah, that's something I'd like to do someday. Not now, because I had these four kids in school and busy and working, and not now. But then the next day, I ran into a friend of mine, a very good friend of mine, and she was a nurse and said she had seen a notice for one of our healthcare systems looking for hospice volunteers. Now, here's where the coincidence comes in. I'm paying attention to the fact I had just seen that notice, and now she's saying that. And I thought, oh, shoot, because I kind of think that was meant to be. But it took the third time of an elderly man, same night, we were all serving meals to homeless people. Yeah. He came up and said, I think you'd be really good working with dying Mary. And he didn't even know me that well. You should think about that. So the way I think, Roy, is that didn't just happen. It happened for a reason. So I just trusted that was what I was supposed to do and ended up doing hospice volunteering, which I'm still going to be doing now.
That's wonderful, and it led eventually to that wonderful service. Well, that's not for dying only. I guess it's also to help people survive.
Exactly. But, you know, the sad part is when you're working with people with cancer, most of them do get well, thank goodness, but many of them don't survive, and so I have become very comfortable with people at the end of their life. It's a privilege to be with them.
A lot of people would want to avoid that at all costs, but I would think that some of the fondest moments probably are of people that were in their final stages of life, because I think when you're in that stage and you have nothing really else to lose, you really think about some of the most important things in life, and I think it would be very enlightening to deal with people in their final stages.
It does. Yep. And you know, I work a lot with other hospice volunteers, and many people use the word, I feel called to do this, or this work as a ministry, and I think that's exactly it. You have to be comfortable with death and dying, your own death as well as others, and but it's very sacred and rewarding work.
Well, do things really happen for a reason, or are most remarkable coincidences or intuition, as we call it, just something that we imagine to give meaning to our dreary day-to-day existence? Is there indeed a divine presence orchestrating our best possible outcomes here on Earth, or are we just imagining most of it?
You know, that is really an interesting question. I struggled with it for many, many years. I worked on this book for many years, and really, Roy, you just hit it on the head, because I think that question is so hard to answer. And so my response is, I don't know if everything happens for a reason. However, I do think some things happen for a reason.
Yeah.
And because I believe that, I am looking for purpose and meaning, and I'm always looking for, what is the opportunity for me to help myself or another person?
Yeah.
And if there is that opportunity, then I'll usually follow that guidance and do what I'm being prompted to do.
Yeah, and you can certainly, we can all take our blinders off and be open to signs and open to new opportunities and things like that that come into our lives, rather than just stuck in the same old and not paying any attention to anything. I know.
That's exactly right. That, because some of them aren't particularly dramatic. You mentioned that hearing the voice in the car, that saved my life. But a lot of them are not that dramatic, and it's easy to ignore them. But once you start not only noticing but responding to them, I think you actually do, from what I hear in my own experience, you actually do see these things happening more often.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, if you're attuned to it, you're most likely to notice things more often
than
somebody that's not. But
that's right.
Well, in your book, Meant to Be Moments, you provide a 4-part process to help us live more fully by not only paying attention to those moments, but also responding to them. Can you briefly run through those 4 steps that we should be doing?
I'd be happy to. The first one is just paying attention, or paying attention to be like minding them, watching them, the meant to be moments. And mind in this case means not just paying attention to things like coincidences or synchronicity, that smell, small voice, people who show up, all those examples you gave, things in nature. But it also means mind when something is asking us to obey or respond to a command, like that voice I heard in the car. That's the first step. And so there you have all those categories. Then in the second step, it's reflecting. Ask yourself, what is this event or incident that I'm noticing? Is it calling me to do something, or is it calling me to be? So, many times you have to take an answer to respond, but other times you can just be called to be peaceful, be comforted, especially around death and dying.
That
to be comforted, affirmed, or helped in a way. Then the third step is ask and acknowledge. And we want more of these signs, ask for them. If you need guidance, ask for them. You need that certain person to show up, ask for them. It becomes a form of prayer.
Yeah.
And then when something happens, we acknowledge it by expressing gratitude. That also is a form of prayer. Some people say that's the best prayer, saying thank you.
Yes, it is.
And then the last one is just saying yes, again, to those ones that are prompting us to do something. And not everyone does, but many times you're invited to.
The toughest challenge yet is to say yes and actually give up your corporate job that you did at some point. And at some point you just say yes to what your instinct tells you, or what that voice is telling you.
That's exactly right. Go for it. Exactly.
Well, what types of experiences are particularly important to pay attention to? What are some of the types of things that are more likely to be a sign?
I would say we talk about these still small voices. Sometimes they're just a feeling. You just have kind of a gut reaction. I should do this. I shouldn't do that.
Yeah.
But honestly, if you hear a direct voice where it's not just a feeling, in my case, it was get out of the car now. That's pretty direct.
Yeah, I think
if you hear something like that.
You said you heard the voice quietly, and then the voice got much more urgent.
That's right. First, it just said get out of the car, and I didn't. Frankly, I was making out with my husband, the boyfriend at the time, in the car. Didn't want to stop. And so didn't respond. And then it was a command, and it just said get out of the car now, and had to respond. So always really heed those kind of messages.
You mentioned it could have been the spirit of your aunt. I think you said that, you know, in the afterlife it was looking out for you.
Yeah, you know, it could be a guardian angel. It could be somebody that passed away.
Yeah.
Many times people experience things after someone died, including seeing a vision, hearing a voice, you know, different things that happen. And they just kind of have a feeling that it's that person. And why not? Maybe it is. We don't know for sure, but it could be.
Yeah. Yeah, you mentioned in your book that the meant-to-be moments often help people find meaning, especially during some of the most difficult times in their lives, like losing a loved one is a good example. Do you have any good examples of something that happened, you know, that comforted a person?
Yeah, I sure do. There's several examples in there, and I think, you know, I really personally can't imagine anything more difficult than losing a child. I absolutely can't imagine. That's just got to be the worst. It's difficult to lose anybody, but especially a child. And I have a few stories in there where people have lost children. For example, a friend of mine, Carol, lost her 20-year-old son who died instantly. It was just a freak car accident in Colorado.
Wow.
And, of course, they were devastated. And what happened with them was things that were connected to him. He was he loved music. He was a DJ. And he also loved, we're from Minnesota, and he loved his Minnesota Twins hat, and he always had it on. And it got very old and worn, so old that his aunt sent him a new one.
Oh.
Well, after Mikey died, his name was Mikey, Carol asked his friends to look for that new one and send it if they found it.
Huh.
A few days after his death, when the family was coming back from the mortuary, they were planning the funeral, there was a package that had been delivered while they were gone. And inside the box was the newer Twins hat that he had had. As soon as they opened that box, a friend who was with them noticed the song that was playing on the radio, or the CD, was John Denver's My Sweet Lady.
Oh.
And in that song, the singer, John Denver, of course, speaks to a grieving lady, asking why is she crying, reminding him that they will always be together, entwined of love. And Carol heard those words. She noticed the sun rays coming in, and she could just feel her son's spirit in the room with them. Then a few days later, they had the same thing happen, and it was the older Twins hat, which she thought was long gone. That shows up. The same song is playing. Very comforting to them.
We had a very similar experience. We lost our daughter. She was 30 years old. But
she
was a former Navy pilot, and she got out of the Navy and was flying a silly plane to pick up a banner to fly over the San Diego Chargers football game, and the plane nosedived, and you know, that's 30 is way too young to die.
Oh, way too young.
Died. But we've received a number of signs from her that, you know, had to be her. Like, my wife was at a craft fair, and a woman with psychic abilities that was at the fair, and she came running looking for my wife, and she said she just heard from her daughter chuckling and saying, "I'm fine," and it sounded just like the way she talked often.
Wow.
And a classic sign, I don't know if it was from our daughter or our departed dog, Chips, but we all of a sudden, a bunch of Chips' dog food showed up underneath a desk where nothing had been there.
Oh, my goodness.
Before. So, I don't think a dog really is probably up to doing that, so it was probably Kristen sending another message.
Yes, and you know what, Roy, for example, that's actually a really good example, and those are the sort of things that would happen where you kind of hear that voice. And here's what I always say to people. When it happened, did you just kind of know it was your daughter? You know, it sounds like.
Yeah, we sure did.
You had a good... But we talk ourselves out of that. And so what I tell people is, don't talk yourself out of that. Let yourself be comforted. And just because you know what it is, but it's a weird experience, let's face it.
Yeah,
so it's sometimes hard to believe that that's what it is.
I also found a missing classes case, and an IRS refund check showed up in the back seat of a car that hadn't been there before. We've had a number of signs from her.
And some are just kind of funny, aren't they?
She had a sense of humor, and still does. Well, how can the practice of gratitude enable us to discover our own meant-to-be moments? What's the connection? I know there is a connection, but...
There is a connection. Well, there is a practice, actually, it's kind of a spiritual practice that people can do at the end of each day. And as they look back on their day, look for those moments in your life for which you are most grateful. And by doing that, oftentimes you'll think of things like you. In the midst of your grief, you had that moment where you felt that connection to your daughter. Those are oftentimes that could be considered meant to be most. Not always, but that's a good place to start.
Yeah, that's a... Well, your book contains, Meant to Be Moments, contains a whole bunch of inspirational stories. In the brief time remaining, can you tell us maybe your favorite story, if there is one? I know there's so many good ones.
Yeah, there are a lot of really good ones. I'm going to tell another one that has to do with, well, I'll just tell you one that just happened to us again. This one is... this one is actually from my first book, but I'm reminded of it because this happened again. This had to do with both my parents. They died within 3 months of each other in 2002. Wow. And on May 5th was my dad's birthday, and my mom had died on May 1st. My dad had died February 6th. So we had dad die, and then she died so quickly. It was we kept saying it was like being hit with a Mack truck. That was a little more sudden, my mom's death. Anyways, as on that day, as we're looking for, you know, pictures to put up on the funeral, it's actually May 3rd, 2 days after her death. We're looking for the things for the wake. My brother happens to find an envelope, and it is dated the same day, May 3rd, but 1959.
Wow.
Exact same day, but all those years earlier. And he opens this card up, and it happens to be a birthday card. My mom was living in Phoenix. My dad was up in Minnesota taking a new job, and so she was telling how she's going to come up. Anyway, she sends a birthday card, and on the birthday card she writes, "Happy birthday, sweetheart. I hope this is the last of your birthdays we will ever spend apart." And the thing was, his birthday was May 5th.
Yeah.
She died right before it. They never spent another birthday apart, and my parents' house was burned down in 1987. Everything, pretty much everything, was destroyed. That birthday card survived, which I think is a miracle.
Isn't that a miracle? That's a,
that's and just just this year, a few days ago, and on May 5th, the anniversary of that, we had a rainbow, which is another type of sign. Oftentimes you get a rainbow, and I found something that seems like it was my dad that day. And then one of us found that same birthday card the same day. So those are the things you notice, those coincidences.
Yeah, they're the things that make life wonderful as it can be when you get signs like that, and when you believe in the possibility of things like that, and signs that will direct your path. And if you listen, you'll get wonderful inspiration out of these signs. If you just too busy and too wrapped up in the daily ho-hum, you'll probably miss them.
Yeah.
Well, where should we go to preview your two books? Your new one, Meant to Be Moments, and your other one, Thin Places Where Faith is Affirmed and Hope Dwells.
They can find out information on my website, which is Mary Tracy O'Keefe. And Tracy is actually spelled T-R-E-A-C-Y, O'Keefe.com. It's there. Both books are on Amazon and Barnes & Noble and, you know, the major bookstore, internet bookstores. And, you know, feel free to contact me, too, via my website. I'd be happy to autograph books and send them out to people.
I only wish your books had been written and available back years ago, as I mentioned often on this program. I ignored intuition and Meant to Be Inspiration until late in middle age. And as a result, I spent like 30 years sleepwalking through life, you know, making a good living and working in the corporate world. But before I finally began offering myself as an inspirational writer, personal coach, consultant, and speaker, which I probably should have been doing all along. And I want to help all of you out there avoid the same fate. If you're less than totally satisfied with your current station in life, or even if you are, but because there's always new horizons out there, I highly recommend you preview Mary's new book, Meant to Be Moment. And it could be that God has a wonderful new plan for your life that you're totally unaware of. So please pay attention to that intuition and those coincidences all around you. Then make sure to thank God for all that direction. And thank you, Mary O'Keefe, for joining me today. This has been
Thank you, Roy. It was my pleasure. I really appreciate the invitation to be with you.
This has been a most inspirational talk, and best of success in the sale of both of your books, including your new one, Meant to Be Moment. I love that title.
Oh, thanks, Roy. Appreciate it. It was just a joy to talk to you.
I trust you're not among the 62% of Americans who say they won't be taking a vacation this summer. That's the largest percentage in four decades, and over 400 million vacation days are not taken in the U.S. every year. What a gigantic waste. If you do intend to go on vacation, I trust you won't spend it bored, disappointed, or stressed out, maybe taking the same tired old vacation every year, and it sure gets stale after a while for some of us. And I hope you won't return with that hollow feeling that your vacation was a waste of time and money. And my next guest, Marco Aguilar, tells us vacations should have a purpose beyond simply getting away from work. And he urges you to take time off and get away, but this year to vacation with a purpose, with a positive outcome in mind. And he's here to explain why. And Marco Aguilar is a 25-year veteran of the travel industry. He's master of the popular ThePowerOfVacation.com website. And he's author of the upcoming book, The Power of Vacation, Keys to the Magic of Intentional Time Off. I can't say it very well. But hello, Marco, and welcome to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age.
Hi, Roy. Thank you for having me on your show.
You're just in time for those of us still planning our July or August summer vacations. To begin, what are some of the opportunities we sacrifice by not taking our full complement of vacation days? I can't imagine anyone doing that, but...
Well, you just mentioned the statistics, and they are very true. Actually, last year, it went up to over 430 million vacation days that went unused. So the number is increasing every year a little bit. It's really crazy.
Yeah, it's not because, you know, people may think they're getting more done by working longer hours and skipping vacation, but I have to believe that they're getting worn down and losing their creativity and a lot of other things by not
taking
it.
That is very true. That is very true. It's affecting, you know, the very obvious health, happiness, overall wellness, but it's even affecting relationships, creativity, and productivity.
Yeah, that's true. No, your productivity would have to go down, and I'd hate to think of not spending those precious hours with your kids as they're growing up, you know, getting away and intensely sharing things with them, with your spouse, and I just can't understand why anyone would give up
their
vacation.
The U.S. has really become no vacation nation.
Yeah.
The U.S. is the only industrialized economy without a set vacation policy. And, you know, I'm not trying to change that, but I am trying to inspire people to, first of all, claim their right to time off, to take a vacation, and then to step out of their comfort zone and travel. Because a lot of people are using their vacation to clear their clutter, to clean the garage. A lot of people don't plan for it. And so because they don't plan for it, they don't save money for it. And they use, you know, hang out in their city park instead of traveling.
What an awful thought to spend your whole vacation uncluttering your garage.
Well, a lot of people are doing it. It's very sad. And, you know, when you stay at home, when you stay in your office, and you do the same thing every day, you can only expect to get the same every day.
Yes, that's true.
Albert Einstein actually said to do the same thing over and over again and to expect different results is a delusion.
Yeah, he was a pretty smart guy, too.
Yeah, so you really need to take the time off and then to travel and do something productive and inspiring with your vacation.
Yeah. Well,
when you travel, go ahead.
No, I said you tell us to let our passion be your tour guide or our tour guide, and what are some potential positive outcomes that we might have in mind when we plan our next vacation?
Well, when you travel, a lot of magic can happen. A lot of unexpected stuff like meeting new people, making new friends. but even coming across people that might offer you a job, that might give you an idea to start a new business, to advance your career. It's been my personal story. I've, you know, twice I've been offered first a job, and later on I was offered a business. And that's how I ended up working in the travel industry, and I opened my company 17 years ago. And it's a marketing and public relations company, which has been very successful. And it all came to be because I met someone when I was on a trip. So a lot of stuff can happen. But coming to what you just mentioned, you know, following your passion, and I love to talk about that. There's a lot of things that we've always wanted to do, especially when we reach mid-age. You know, it's we get to that point where we said, oh, I would have loved to do this or to do that, or I would have loved to learn to whatever.
There's nothing worse than what if, and I could have been when you get older.
And it's never too late to do whatever you want to do. The best example that I like to give is that George Bush Sr. celebrated his 90th and his 95th birthdays. Jumping out of airplanes, skydiving. So it's never too late for anything. And nowadays, you know, just Google whatever you like to do, and you'll find classes, retreats, all sorts of experiential trips, no matter whether you're talking about meditation, painting, learning to play a musical instrument, writing a book, doing certain sports. So what the question you need to ask yourself is, what are those things or that one thing that you always dream of doing that maybe you like to follow on TV, and go do it. Follow your passion.
I think also you mentioned traveling to volunteer and support others in a cause. And I know at the church I was in a few years ago, they had a number of mission visits to El Salvador to help build a community sewing center and do other activities, and some people might consider that a grind, but others I know received a whole bunch of benefits from, you know, studying another culture and helping out somewhere like that. So that's another good thing I think you might do on vacation if that's...
Exactly. There's a lot of volunteering opportunities, like you said, to help others, but also maybe to help the environment, plant trees, build things. And while you're doing that, you also get enlightened by the local culture, the local food. You also provide those people with a little bit of a taste of what American people and American culture is like. So that's also a terrific opportunity that everybody should experience.
Well, I hate to throw water on the fire, the flames here, but for those of us with older children at home, teenagers or even preteens, how can we plan a vacation that the preteens and teens buy into? I know it's, you know, how do we ensure that each family member has input and all of them are inspired and has a chance for a joyful and meaningful breakthrough experience and not just what we as parents want to do?
Well, you have to get them involved. The vacation should be exciting and inspiring for every single member of the family or the group. So you really need to take them into consideration. You need to sit down.
So we should have a pre-planning session, I guess, when everyone has an input. And
Exactly. You need to have a vacation conversation with your family. Sit down, talk about it, maybe even make a list. See, what happens is when it comes to vacation, we don't plan, we don't set goals.
No.
It's like you're looking at the words vacation and goals. Don't go together. It's like water and oil. But actually, it's a great idea to plan in paper, to write it down. Write what your objectives or your vacation is. A lot of people say, oh, I just want to lay by the beach and do nothing. You know. But I think that as human beings, our time is our most precious asset. We think that the accounts that we have in the bank or our investments or even our home is the most important assets that we have. And we even saw during the 2008-2009 housing crisis, I mean, it was actually called a housing crisis, that our homes can be liabilities and not assets. But the only real asset that we all have and the most valuable asset is our time.
Yeah.
We all have, whether it's the richest man on earth, Bill Gates, or the poorest man in Africa, we all have the same 24 hours.
Yeah, and it's something we never get back either.
No, so we really need to think what we want to do with our time. And time off is our own time. We have to make good use of it.
Yeah, in terms of planning a vacation, I would think you'd want to make general plans in terms of purpose and what you want to accomplish. But I don't like vacations when you plan every single minute of every single day, because I've found in the past that that kind of creates tension. You know, I have to be here, I have to, you make all these plans in advance, and maybe once you get on the vacation, you don't really feel like doing that.
I agree with you 100%, but you need to have a general plan, a general outlook of what you want to do, where you want to go. And when I talk about planning, I'm not talking about, choosing a hotel or choosing a flight. It's more than that. It's really looking at what outcomes do you want to get out of your vacation.
Yeah, that would be great if you could get each of your teenagers to set some goals for the vacation and what they would like to accomplish, rather than just, maybe it'd just be getting away from the video games and the social media for a few days.
And a goal could be just going to a certain place.
Yeah.
Standing in front of the Colosseum in Rome and getting, inspired by that. Or it could be one of the things that I love to talk about is go to a country where they write a different alphabet.
Yeah, that's
and check that out, see what it feels and see. Usually when they write a different alphabet, the culture will be completely different. The food will be completely different. Experience that.
Yeah. Maybe an interesting vacation would be to go to Greece and see if you can get any money.
Exactly.
Get over there. Well, when couples have vastly different concepts of what's fun, different aspirations, and different folks to reconnect with, do you recommend separate but equal vacations? Can couples vacation apart and return inspired, closer together, and eager to share experiences? In your experience, do you find many instances where that works? Or?
That works in certain cases, but there's other choices as well. Yeah. One of the things, for instance, that I just did with my wife, we're planning our next vacation, and we have, there's so many places that we want to go to and explore and experiences that we want to live.
Yeah.
And what we did is we wrote down our top two choices of places we want to go. And we write them down in a little piece of paper. We folded the pieces of paper. We threw them in a hat, and we just picked one. It was not really an imposed choice. Luck played a little bit of a role. But in any case, whether we picked one of the papers, out of the four papers, we were going to make the right choice by picking that. Another solution would be, if you have, kids at home, let each kid choose one vacation, rotate every year.
That's a good idea. Or you could, plan a vacation where you rotate each adult and each child has a one thing they want to do or a few things they really want to do and try to fit, several of those in.
Exactly. But you really need to have that conversation. Sit down, talk about it, write some goals, some outcomes. And like you said, you don't have to plan minute by minute, because part of the magic of traveling is the unexpected.
Yeah, that's what I always like to think about. You have some general purpose in mind and not just going somewhere and doing it with nothing planned. But on the other hand, you want to make time for these serendipitous, I don't pronounce that very well, but those moments that just occur that might be the highlight of the whole trip.
Exactly.
So you do not recommend then stay-at-home vacations where you commit to a fix-up or a home improvement project. I'm not just talking about
vacation. I don't buy into that. Unless you really need to take time off if you're moving, things like that. If you're doing a major renovation, you really need to get away from the office to take care of that. But to clean clutter and things like that, dedicate 1 hour every day to get rid of the clutter. But
you
use your time off wisely.
Yeah, that's for sure. In your experience, do many long married couples actually rekindle love and romance on vacation? And what type of vacation works best for romance? I suppose there's no strict limits on that.
No, there's no magical formula for that because each couple is different. Every couple has different things that they like.
Yeah.
So, I mean, for one couple, it could be going on a winery tour in Napa or in France, and that could be very, very romantic, having some really nice dinners. And
yeah.
Wineries are usually very beautiful and very romantic,
yeah.
Walking through the vineyards. For another couple, it could be going to Paris and going through museums and
yeah.
going on a cruise, on, you know. So there's no magic formula. Every
yeah.
couple knows what they want, but
yeah.
I can assure you that travel brings magic to couples. I mean, in my particular case, my wife and I are at our best when we are out traveling.
Oh, that's great. Well, I was fascinated on your website that you conduct innovative and thought-provoking vacation time-off presentations to encourage employee work-life balance. Tell us a bit about your three program options that you put on for enlightened organizations. I think that's great.
Well, there's a new trend emerging. I'm very grateful that it's happening. A lot of companies are now being aware of the vacation and time off that they need to provide their
yeah.
employees. And
yeah.
a lot of them are starting to do some really fun stuff. And so now I am also delivering, I have a one-hour keynote speech.
Oh.
I have also a half-day workshop and a full-day workshop,
nice.
And they are not just talking about, you know, beautiful destinations and giving
yeah.
my suggestions on where to buy cheap travel.
Yeah.
It's more than that. It's about getting inspiration and how to transform your life in general terms and how travel can be just one of those elements that can help
great.
You achieve success, achieve the goals that you set for yourself in your life, and to live a more happy and fulfilling life.
Yeah. I notice you also offer a Journey with Marco excursions. What are
yeah,
some
those
of
are, I'm going to be announcing those very soon. They're a work in progress right now. I will be announcing some trips for 2016 where I will personally be escorting those groups. They're going to be very small, exclusive groups, where I'm going to take you to a very inspiring and magical place,
yeah.
and there's going to be a lot of unique stuff that we're going to do. We're going to start the days with some type of meditation, sometimes guided by me, sometimes guided by a local shaman or monk or something like that. We're going to have cooking demos with local celebrity chefs. If there's archaeological sites, we are going to get explanations by a local university professor, things like that. They're very, very unique experiences.
Well, that sounds like something that the people want to check in. What's your website in case somebody wants to put on one of your workshops or check into these excursions when they come?
Sure. My website is www.thepowerofvacation.com.
Oh, that's a good name.
Thepowerofvacation.com.
Yeah. And you have an upcoming book, The Power of Vacation. When do you expect that will be out?
That will be out, hopefully, in early 2016.
Oh, I see.
It's going to be up to my publisher. It takes a while to
yeah.
get a book out there. But I'm really excited because there's nothing like it out there in the market. And
no, there isn't.
It will bring a lot of inspiration and empowerment to people.
There's a lot of travel guides, but there's nothing really that brings empowerment to vacations in that.
Exactly. There's a lot of travel guides, and I can definitely talk about destinations and what's hot, what's trending, how to get the best deals. But like you said, there's a lot about that out there already. This is a little different. This is more about claiming your right to time off and take purpose-driven vacations.
Yeah, and they should keep checking. I guess you also can sign up for a newsletter on your website.
Correct.
So it will keep you informed of when that book's going to be available, because that's
and people might also want to follow me on Facebook.
Oh, yeah.
At Facebook.com/JourneyMarco.
Oh.
You're going to find a lot of interesting, cool information.
Okay.
And
no,
just follow me on all my social media.
They can do that. Well, in conclusion, although 62% of Americans seem to be ignoring the benefits of vacation, those of us at middle age are wise enough to recognize that we all need to get away from work to refresh, reconnect with loved ones, and recharge our batteries, and also with a purpose in mind. But as Marco reveals, a thoughtfully planned vacation can inspire you to much more. A vacation with a purpose may even serve as a genuine catalyst for personal growth or life transformation. Discover your true purpose in life and how you should direct your career, just how much and why you cherish and admire your spouse, your kids, and those closest to you. Reflect on who you are now, who you want to be, and what you're capable of accomplishing, and learn a whole new set of skills, perfect an existing skill, or take up an activity you always wanted to try. And as you so ably put on your website, Marco, that travel not to discover places, but to discover yourself. That kind of says it all. And best of success in getting your message across.
Yes, thank you, Roy. Thank you so much.
And you out there, it's not too late to plan a meaningful vacation for later this summer or for fall or winter this year. And planning a meaningful 2015 vacation is your homework assignment for this week. And tune in next week when our guest will tell why you should pay attention to your dreams. And thanks a million, Marco Aguilar, for joining us here today.
My pleasure, Roy.
Middle age can be your best age. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age, hosted by Roy Richards, an expert on midlife renewal and author of both A Midlife Challenge, Wake Up, and Wake Up, Captain and Crew, Restart Your Engines. You can learn more about Roy and his Middle Age Renewal Training System by visiting his website, middleagerenewal.com.